Hi, I'm Keegan, and this is Bunch of Gamers. This is our 160th episode of Werewolf the Apocalypse 20th Anniversary Edition, The Concordant. I'm going to go around and have my players introduce themselves.
I'm Tyler, and I play Kyle, also known as Guards the Low. He's a Philodox of the Children of Gaia.
Hi, I'm Sam. I play Cora. She's an Aruna in the Get of Fenris.
Hi, I'm Adam. I play Mark Guides the Fallen, and he's a Thurge of the Children of Gaia.
Hi, I'm Sean. I play Zeb, Speaks in Sweet Whispers. He is a Thurge of the Silent Striders.
Hello, my name's Thomas. I play Dimitri Howls in Memory, Lupus Galliard of the Bone Gnawers.
Hi, my name is George. I am playing William Groves Matrices. He is a rune of the Glasswalkers.
Last time, the Pax had finally arrived at the Sept of the Green 3 days before the Concordant. Moving around, they spoke with little bites, the hand that feeds, and tried to make sure that he understood what was coming, and to try and comfort him in the dark days to come. Meanwhile, they moved about and spoke to the last few elders that they could, Zeb finding out about the Ahadi in Africa, and Cora meeting up with Agatha, who has grown old and is slowly dying in the streets, though Agatha has promised to rise up and help them when the time comes. Now the Concordant has been called. The Pax move through the city, hiding little bites, the hand that feeds in a trench coat, and finally enter the Sept grounds proper as they pass through to the other side of the gauntlet. You move through the center of the Cairn, and poor little bites the hand squeeze out as he grips Kyle and Cora's hand and he squeezes and he looks at you with pain and betrayal. Despite your warnings, it was not sufficient enough to warn him as he goes,
"That hurt."
As several Garu turn and look at little meatball with disgust.
I know.
Where's he to be brought?
As you're moving along and you see Rummage show up. You guys will be in the center, at least initially, so that everyone can look at you. As you move in, and there's well over 400 Garu here. Hamids, Lupus, Krynos, various shapes and forms, creating a massive sea of bodies all looking at you. You see anger, distrust, hope, curiosity, and the like. There stands a man in his maybe 30s, 40s, with jet black hair, a long feathered cloak, and a clave to his side. The Margrave stands. He looks at you stoically. There is not an ounce of emotion on his face as you start to appear, and howls are made by the galliards to call for silence. There's a song sung of the coming of the tribes and tales of the first ever Concordant and the formation of the Garu Nation and the formation of the Litany as they bounce back and forth between the galliards before things die down and they wait expectantly before the Margrave speaks up. Memori's Bane, ill omens. You stand accused of recklessly endangering the nation, fighting the protectors of Gaia, and spitting upon Litany. What do you say to these charges?
We would claim innocence against these charges, and say that we have not raised a single claw, nor bared our teeth towards the protectors of Gaia, nor have we spat upon the Litany. In fact, we had worked to uphold it.
Very well. Now, you say that you have claimed to uphold the Litany, yet those more versed in it than you and higher of rank had come for the child, and you had run from them. You had snuck across the nation. You had worked with a Garu, at least, that had killed several, protecting its offspring, an offspring that is a violation or comes from a violation of the Litany, correct?
I will speak for my pack, honored elder. I'd never met the mother in my life. I did not know what a protector of Gaia was until after the fact. The only knowledge I was given that this child was born was when the Herald of Phoenix itself appeared and informed me that it occurred. And at that point in time, when we arrived there to dead Krenos Garou and a cub in the city of Colorado Springs with numerous human witnesses, it was the first duty of the Alpha Fomori's men and I to make sure that the veil was protected, that our kinfolk were informed of the battle that had taken place, of the monumental amount of witnesses and property damage that occurred, and then to make sure immediately that the bodies of all Krynosborn and the cub were removed. Thereafter, while I do not know if the punishment for violating that particular tenet of the litany is now a capital offense among our people, it was incumbent upon us to remove the child, and as we have come to discover, its spiritual nature would place, I think, greater risk to our cairns and the territory of another if we were to execute it outright without knowledge.
And those are your opening arguments. I thank you. Garou discuss as we formulate a discussion as we come to consensus. Elders, gather the opinions of your people. Tribes, try to speak as concisely as possible. If you differ from your tribe, then speak up and step forward. Pax, you will speak as one. This is a true concordant, and I will not break from the tradition. Pax, speak as one. A lone wolf is a sick wolf, and I will allow no sickness here to poison the purity of our judgment, whatever way it goes. As you all start to break apart, as you see, there's a low roar of Garou speaking back and forth all around you. What would you like to do?
Are there still a bunch of people looking at us, expecting us to say more?
Not
or have
right
they
now,
all
no.
broken up?
They've okay. all kind of broken up into smaller groups. Marikarbra actually does approach you. She goes, "Hello, little one." She wiggles her finger in front of Meatball. Meatball kind of looks back and she goes, "Ah, older now. I don't think we've been formally introduced. I am Mari. I am an Elder Thurge of the Black Furies and packmate to King Jonas Albrecht."
"It's good to meet you."
"Yeah, we'll do our introductions as unnecessary as they might be, and then introduce the bites the hand that feeds."
"I've heard some arguments starting to get formed. You've made a good case for your own survival, at least. But now the truly uphill fight will begin. I think the Margrave's going to move quickly on that one, especially since your survival was contingent to several deals with Unified Heart, I'm told."
"Yes, we've lost some votes among the Children of Gaia for that very reason. I wish they cared less about our survival, more about the nations, but it is what it is."
"It is, and that explains why the Margrave is taking the tact he is. It sounds like he's making a weak case against you so that he can make a stronger case for the child and its execution."
"Speaking of the child, I'd imagine the Margrave are in a rush to make a decision for his execution because they fear the prophecy of the perfect child, if I'm reading the info correctly."
"I think that's part of it, yes. If the child is as terrible as they think, then it only makes sense. Though I think murdering a child is the height of cowardice. And it's blasphemous to the creations of the mother and to Pegasus."
"There's a middle way of a deal that we've started to formulate, and it would be better to come from you and based on other, or those among your tribe, the tribe of Pegasus and others, as if it were to come from the Silver Fangs or the Shadow Lords, they might break themselves upon the topic, and that's the formation of a Silver Pack to go connect themselves to Phoenix and determine what to do. And the more disgusting part of that argument is, if this child is just executed and sent to the Atrocity Realm, what the hell do we do when the Army of Banes sweeps over here because true innocence was destroyed and here we are? And if more should come, how do you truly destroy something on a spiritual level? And just a clave isn't going to do that. And that's one of the more grotesque things that the moderate Fianna and others were willing to buy into. And those selected, my recommendation would be younger brother, one of Pegasus, the Fianna, definitely the Red Talons, maybe others, but not a Silver Fang, not not a child of Grandfather Thunder, not one of those that the child has lineage to, Geta Fenris or older brother. And again, just a plan, but we have a few other elders that have bit off on that. As again, Kyle has articulately stated time and again, unity above all, as this could be incredibly divisive and swallow us up.
Understood. I'll start passing words, though. I think they'll be calling soon. As there is a great howl, and the Garu start to quiet again, as the Margrave speaks up. It seems that at least in this, that there's consensus amongst many. We'll give howls here in a moment. But it sounds as if many have spoken to believing that the two packs are innocent of violating the litany. If any wish to dispute this now, speak up on the charges brought regarding the protectors and the violations. There's some silence, and the call for a howls for those who believe in innocence, and it is overwhelming. The Margrave then speaks up again. Now to the next part of the Concordant. And if we keep this pace, perhaps we can return to our Cairns swiftly, for I know that we are vulnerable. But regardless, we must be thorough. The child stands accused of being a sign of the apocalypse and a harbinger of our doom. Born at the same time as Anthelios, the Eye of the Worm, the child is unnatural, and Gaia has never uplifted her curse upon the breeding of two Garu to give birth to a Krynos, for it would set us adrift away from humanity and Wolf and turn us into true monsters. The only thing powerful enough to dissolve such chains, such mandates, is the great corruptor himself. I stand here and say that it is regardless if the child is truly the child of Gaia, desperate one, who will violate all the laws of litany, which in and of itself is reason enough to end it here before such an abomination could happen. This child, whose very birth is a clear corruption of Gaia's laws, cannot be born from Gaia. That the spirits gaze at it as a curiosity. If Gaia sent word that she sent us a savior, would they not embrace it? Would they not sing its herald? Instead, the storm crows fly at a distance and gaze. How do you answer?
The prophecy of the Desperate One is not what is truly on trial here. We can apply it to the child if we so choose, but there are many Garu, many spirals that it could apply to. And there is no word if it is Gaian litany that the child would violate. Spirals keep their own litany, and it could be that is violated, and that is no great crime to us. Further, creation, life, is the purview of Gaia, and she is certainly powerful enough to create. The child has no worm taint upon him, and has not since the moment we met, and has not the entire time we have held that child. We have followed the prophecies of Traveler and of Phoenix, and in many cases, purposefully, these prophecies are not specific, because truly, it can go either way. I would put forth, again, if we are not to take the Desperate One argument here, and just look at our main prophecies of the perfect warborn, that this Concordant itself could be the breaking or the building point. That simply by being born, the prophecy is fulfilled, whether we break apart here as a nation or whether we come together.
I appreciate your stance. We'll go, and if others have questions, they will come soon. We will go for a few moments once the wind spirits cross the sky, and they sing their song as they are wont to do. We will return to our discussions. As once again, Garu kind of break up into smaller groups, and there's kind of a low rumble of just Garu talking. After maybe 15, 20 minutes, Blazing River approaches you. The Talon is in their Hispo form. and speak the Garu tongue.
Glory's Bane, ill omens. I have something to inform you of. The Margrave has heard your counteroffer to us, and has agreed for us, for his vote, as well as increasing it for a human life for every Garu in a Karen. I wish to know if you still wish to deal with us.
Is that including cubs?
It does. Though there are so few cubs, it barely makes a difference.
I suppose so.
Permanent members of the Sept, or visitors?
Permanent now, but that brings my counteroffer to you. Any Garu who becomes a member of the Karen for one turning of Luna, for I know that you are squeamish, and joins the Karen for that long, then another must be culled in the area.
Two more questions. The first is, I suppose, rather simple. Are there Karens that are exempted from this because they are so far from humans?
No. There are no Karens too far from humans these days. Humans have so much of the Earth, they have given very little to Gaia. A Garu could reach a human nest within a day's run, if not less.
Understood. And it is the Sept's responsibility to kill these humans as a whole, not some individual Garu, not some new cub.
Correct. How you deal with it is how you deal with it. But we will watch and listen to make sure that the Garu who fall under this deal and agree, which will be brought up at the end of the Concordant as part of the final judgments of the child and how to keep order when the child is kept alive, I hope, that, well, you agree to these terms and that the Karens make sure that they honor their words, that they shall be respectful, that they shall be loyal, that they shall live by their word.
For fuck's sake, Steven was talking about how he's going on a nationwide journey to kill police in all 50 states, Kyle. I don't really have too much compunction about this one, killing scumbags outside of a Sept.
And there certainly are gifts and talents that they could pinpoint the most warm-tainted of them all. It might be a stretch of the metaphor, but it's like a scalpel to a tiny tumor.
No, I'm not worried about the deal. I worry that there would be enough others that would not vote for it, that the howls would not mean enough. But I will support your play.
Then that brings me to my next. If Jonas Albrecht, the Alpha of Alphas, you at least know him, but do not speak to him. If the Gaian King chooses to honor the Talons in a way that is even greater than his chief rival, surely that will carry weight and bring more howls to our cause.
You're right. And he is far, far more likely to take it from us, from non-Red Talons. I suppose that would be the best choice, yes. The Red Talons have compromised greatly and unendingly for a very long time, and it is time for the nation to follow suit.
He looks at you quizzically for a moment before shifting to his lupus form as you see him give a movement of the body. His tail shift. It's not down. It's not quite neutral, but his head is down as he sniffs the ground at your feet and gives kind of a rub along your leg as a sign of respect and a sign of you honoring his agreement.
Tyler has no idea how to...
Yeah.
You probably don't pet the wolf.
I would say do not pet the Red Talon. No. Do not tell him he's a good boy.
I think you just say we'll get to it.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah, no, you're right. We will go speak with him immediately.
As you're moving through the crowds, there's Garu left and right. You bump into a couple of them, and they even shift to Glabro for a second as they kind of give glares. As you see this old, withered man with shoulders, though, that are out to here, he's finely muscled, completely bald, and has scars all over his body as he is talking with Albrecht before he turns and he looks at you and he gives kind of a semi-respectful nod and makes a motion for you to join the conversation.
I suppose we do.
Do we recognize him? Heard from stories, maybe?
Yes, you have some inclination. He is in camo. He has several guns upon his person. And the man looks like he is easily in his 70s, if not 80s at this point. This is likely the Geta Fenris legend, Golgol Fangs First, leader of the Amazon War.
It is an honor to meet you, Fangs First, Rhea, and an honor to see you again, King Albrecht.
Albrecht nods, it is an honor to see you as well.
We know the plan that the Margrave is going to push for, the execution of the child, and a minor reinstatement of the Impergium.
King Albrecht, the Margrave has a plan to, with the Red Talons, to allow them to kill as they see fit the Hamids around their steps. On top of that, they have agreed that for every permanent resident of a sept, the most tainted by the worm, Hamid, that they can find, they will kill. Our counteroffer, and we think that it is a fine one, is to add to that being every resident who makes a sept their home for one lunar month, for 30 days, one of the most tainted Hamids, one of the most worm-tainted creatures that is not Fomori, is also killed.
That'll be a hard bargain for a lot of the bigger cities. That many murders happening. Yeah. You understand my trepidation?
I do, because yes, it's very difficult in large cities. However, I also see how many bad people, how many terribly tainted people are in those big cities.
That is true. That's true. Though, well, that would be interesting. Are we speaking of sense worm or those who serve the worm? Someone found in an abusive house will have lots of worm taint around them as it leaks onto their person. We have to make sure that we're very specific in our language.
The Red Talon deal is that it is against those who actively serve the worm.
So Zeb, Kyle, and Dimitri, you all notice Golgol Fangs First is watching this conversation with great interest. He's clearly appraising Albrecht and very clearly attempting to get a read on him.
Although it may be difficult in the larger cities, hell, even in the smaller ones, the Red Talons have compromised for generations, and they have been given very little in return. Their place in the world grows smaller, constantly. More than just to save the child, they have a right to exist. And it's not like we can say that our cities are worm-free. It will be hard and difficult, but it won't be wrong.
I suppose so. I do place a bit on the concept of at least some form of redemption, but I agree that the Red Talons being a part of this, I've heard many stories from many guru, even members of my own pack, who have constantly told me that the Red Talons there's something about them. I think getting them on our side is a good call. I also wanted to speak briefly, if I can, that I know that I am not as politically savvy as the Margrave, and that I'm going to try, though. I want to make sure that we get something going. I want to emphasize that it is spirals who kill innocent children, not us. I think that we need to reiterate that and reiterate that point. We may lose some among us, but if we do not stand on our convictions, then we simply stand on sand of compromise. And as we try and build any sort of coalition of Garu up, built upon compromised ideals, the whole structure will collapse before it grows too tall.
I agree. And I think those two concepts can feed each other. Instead of slaying an innocent child, we should slay the corrupt. It is the corrupt that must suffer. And further, I do think that this compromise is less about compromising morals, and more just about compromising difficulties. I would not make it if I didn't feel that way.
That's fair. As there is, you hear the wind spirits overhead, they're laughing and giggling, and there's a splash of rain as like a quick spring rainfall from the spirits splashes upon all the Garu around. As they look down, they giggle and laugh as you see Meatball kind of give a shake and growl at them as the Garu start to form the circle again as you're kind of expected to re-enter the center. The Margrave kind of speaks up. There's been some talk, and I know several Garu wish to speak to you, but I was wondering if you could. There's rumors that we need to make sure to confirm, cast aside, to make sure that the nation goes forward with a clear head. Is it true that you entered the ethereal realm and spoke to the planetary Incarna?
Yes, we did so.
Wonderful. And can you speak to what they said? How did they speak? What did they say of the child?
Each spoke to their ban and their nature. For some, like the god of war, it was a challenge of conviction, of the warrior's heart, to do what must be done because it's hard. There was never a clear... Some had a clearer opinion. Ishtara, the mother, of course, nurturing, loving, showing care for an innocent. Those of fate, unclear. Fate's unclear sometimes. Deal with it. They were universal in their condemnation of the Anthelios and their understanding of the threat. But for the child, it was a challenge for the Garu to do what the Garu must do, what is hard for the Garu to do, to face any challenge, to stand for it with conviction, and to bear the consequences out, because not everything is clear and not everything was an easy victory. And that is the most concise way that I could reiterate what those Celestials imposed upon us, if the Alpha here has anything else to add. And he'll gesture to Kyle.
The only other thing I would add is from Nerigal, he said the easiest thing would be to kill the child. But that was it. That was the closest to a condemnation that we received.
I see, thank you. I know some Garu wish to speak. And the first one, I believe, who will help in this is of younger brother. Come forward, blood in the wind. As you see the Lupus Garu approach, they are strong, fit. As they look at you, they have gleaming amber eyes. As Blood in the Wind then speaks, he goes, "They speak truly, I'm sure, to the best of their abilities, but I fear that they are blind. These packs that march amongst the stars. I had heard that they traveled, and I had heard the rumors, and so I decided to go on a spiritual journey myself. North Wind is a wind. And the Windrider and our patron are close. And so, I traveled to the realm of the Windrider. I traveled there and spoke to him. And I learned that they did speak to him. Katanka Sonak did say that he was interested in the child as a warrior. But they failed in true lines of inquiry. They failed to mention to Katanka Sonak that the child was born at the same time as Anthelios. And when that was mentioned by me, the Great Windrider grew wroth and said that anything associated with the Great Star should be destroyed. I do not believe that this was done out of malice by Fomori's Bane and Ill Omens. I think it came from a kind of compassion, one that has blinded them from asking difficult questions and asking the right questions or saying things to spirits to draw out the truth of the matter. They say beautiful words about prophecy and reject them, but it seems to me that they had come to a conclusion in mind rather than genuinely following the facts to come to the truth.
I feel as if I should offer my apologies then. You're absolutely right. Thinking back, no, we did not mention that fact to Katanka Sonak. We mentioned it. We did mention when the child was born to, I believe, all of the others. And I absolutely believed at the time that, oh yes, we spoke at length about Anthelios. And because I failed to mention it, because we failed to mention it, we did not get to have that part of the conversation with him. But were I to respond to his concerns, I would say that the great eye can open to look upon something, both in joy and in fear. These are things undecided, and to say that the child is directly related to it, it's hard to say otherwise, born at the same time. But what that actually means, we don't know.
No, you do not. But the worm tends to gaze lovingly at what gives it strength. I think we can all agree in that. The worm has nothing to fear, in that it has been constrained for so long that its fear has become a separate head, one of the urge worms. And worse yet, this child comes from our older brother, one who we strode to walk with in the dawn before the Wormbringers, but who had then started to look for dark secrets that we cautioned them against. For even though our rage burns white cold, we know sometimes it is better not to look in the dark places. And its other parent, Fenrir, cowards, monsters, creatures that have killed our kin while our warriors were away, twisted and taking the worst of both parents, potentially. Those are also lines of inquiry. The worm lives in everything, all of us. That is a fact, for we can bring about destruction. We can change, we can we can constantly change our forms, but are limited in those forms. And we have the balance within us and Gaia's righteous rage, but even within that righteous rage that brings us closer to destruction, the worm can reach into us. And that is where the thrall comes from. This child, born unnaturally by two tribes that for many generations had fought, and justifiably by older brother, was born and the worm gazed at it. Even if the worm did not have a direct hand in creating it, its eyes would radiate the same corrupting energies, and it would bring out the worst of both of its lineages, I think. Bloody Snow, always acting as if she were Hamid, have nothing against the Krynosborn, and I do believe that they are unjustly treated by our people. However, how she acted was a form of deception, because she wished to fight against tradition, and she wished to act as if there was nothing wrong with her and her actions. She tried to overstep her station, just as the Weaver did when it captured the worm. And then she did it again when she birthed that.
You've given us quite a lot to respond to. And I would say that I am surely not the person to speak to older brother's tribal ways. I am ignorant of these matters and generally trust the tribes to keep their own counsel on how they handle things, especially internally. But you say that Bloody Snow acted as a Hamid, and I would say to you, how many options are given to our warborn? We say that the reason that it violates Litany is because it takes us away from both wolf and human, as the Margrave so put it earlier. They are already a step further away than most Garu, because they are not raised with either. They are raised with us, and their birth forms do not match either of the worlds that they are supposed to be tied to. I would say to you, if she was acting as a Hamid, then she was doing better than most, and not just of the Warborn. That is not to say that her violations of the Litany are any lighter.
I have taken up enough time, but I will think on responses, if I have any. I thank you for answering earnestly. As he steps down, you see the withered old woman, Agatha, being held by two Garu helping her walk towards the circle. Several Garu looking on in disgust as you hear one call out in rage, "Do not suffer thy people to tend to thy sickness," directly at her. She scoffs and she stands up. She gives a cough and moves it around as she looks and goes, if we followed the letter of the litany at any given moment, you should end your own life and let the nation move on without one who fails to understand and weaken us. I am Agatha Spirit Whisper, and I wish to speak before you in the name of the child. Long ago, when I was still young, that there were wild spirits that I attended here in the webs. They created something new within the webs, whether that was art, human connection, or creative uses of technology that shattered the webs and forced the weaver to change tactic so that the world would change. It is said by our Farah brothers, the Nuisha, that the worm's foolishness got it trapped in the webs, that it was greedy, that it wanted everything. And so, in its pride, it cut down humanity and controls them to try and taint the webs to free it. We are the worm. As you hear growls and howls at her, several gar returning to Krynos, she gives a cough. We are the worm in that we see justification for our own cowardice in the webs, and we crawl up to cut them down and get tangled in our lies. We corrupt ourselves trying to kill this child. We fail to nurture what is new, to bend the webs. This child is the greatest chance that the Garu Nation has to move forward. And I believe that with all of my heart and all of my soul. I wouldn't have walked across this town, shown my dulling teeth, my smoldering rage that is barely embers anymore. I can barely change. Blavro is lost to me, as is Hispo. Only Krynos and the wolf remain, and I fear to shift into either of them and not have enough fire to change one last time. That is how strongly I believe in this. And she looks over at the Margrave and her eyes kind of gleam. And I will make sure that the cracks in your arguments run deep and your ambitions shatter like glass. The Margrave just looks stoically and goes, thank you. You have been heard. I hope your escort is kind to you, but we do need you out for the fit to speak. Shadow Dagger kind of steps up and goes, the child may be cursed, but as Fomori's Bane had put it, surely we can do something to alleviate this. Give us more time, more runway, so to speak, in the final decision. What if we were to form a silver pack, call upon Phoenix to unite them and have them watch the child, make sure that there's no taint in the child? That way, we can be more confident in savior or destroyer, or whatever other arguments come up. I know that we may not have the time, but perhaps this could buy us enough, honored elders. As he nods and kind of backs away, the Margrave kind of nods, looks around. It has been heard. Very well. Now, we will go again. The stars are moving. The great star there, as he points, once it touches the top of that building there, we will continue our discussions. Any who dare bring arguments, bring them, as they kind of break off and start talking amongst themselves.
This feels grueling.
I'm kind of amazed that the Getafeners or cowards didn't result in just an all-out melee breaking out. So
yeah.
Good on everyone.
There are absolutely challenges going on right fucking now.
I figured.
There's blood and howls, yeah.
Okay.
Cora will just check in with Meatball, like, hey, bud, you've been good, you know?
As he looks at you and he goes,
and you said some were going to say mean things. I didn't know.
As he kind of waves you to be closer as he's just kind of scared, rubbing his hands.
Mm-hmm.
As he just whispers in your ear.
You didn't tell me everyone was going to hate me.
Agatha doesn't hate you. Not everybody does. We don't hate you. There are so many people here who don't hate you.
He kind of nods.
We talked to a lot of people when you were away. Shh. A lot of people. Not everybody hates you, bud.
You are approached by Night Hunter from Gaia's Inferno again. He gives a nod to you. I will speak soon, but I wish you to know. There is one that made me think of you. I've had two visions. I do not know what they mean. I saw a great rolling thunder. It was moving, and a wolf stood, gazing at it as the storm approached. The world shook. Then I saw another wolf, and I saw rains striking the forest, and the wolf ran through it just a step behind the rains, seeming to try and do something, running with the storm. And the last was the most terrifying of them all. Saw a great thunderclap strike, and the winds rose and consumed it. And there was no rain no more. And I saw the forests wither behind a great screen of webs as a thousand lights in the sky seemed to dim.
It sounds a lot like Phoenix, but is there a roll that I could make via Enigmas to try to give him something back after that, Keegan?
Yeah, you could do Enigmas. Let's do Int Enigmas. We'll go diff. Go diff 8. Damn good roll. It sounds like the first wolf was facing a storm. The next wolf was chasing a storm. There was no wolf in the third part. Something was eating the storm.
He'll look at his packmates. One that faces the storm. One that chases the storm. One that eats the storm. He'll turn back to the Talon. I'll tell you this, your visions are incredibly important, and this is exceptionally good information. There is a worm-tainted Namer that we've been battling for some time, and I believe you've revealed part of their end goal. Recall that the whole nation had to rise with their legends to put it down the first time, and seeing these chains or these binds weaken, we now know that there's a disgusting actor in all of it, and one that we've been dealing with at Sacred Stone for some time.
I think I understand. I'll speak on my other part of the... I'll speak more later, but the Talons have been getting visions.
Thank you for bringing them to us, as concerning as they might be.
As kind of conversation is going back and forth, you see Shadow Dagger speaking with Agatha. You see the Margrave then speaking with Shadow Dagger. Albrecht is speaking. You see a couple Fianna kind of like growl at Albrecht, and Albrecht makes the motion to challenge. Everything is getting closer and closer to the boiling point. You can feel the electric tension in the air now. Finally, from older brother, Jacob Magekiller approaches you. Mors Bane, Ill Omens.
Magekiller.
Younger brother touched on something that I can almost believe, but I don't believe that it was a bad thing. As a member of older brother, I know Malcolm had looked into strange places and across the Umbra for new rites and rituals to aid the nation. What if he had found a ritual that allows the birth of Krynosborn from Krynosborn? Not necessarily as a harbinger of the apocalypse, but as a way to grow our numbers. As the final battle comes, our connection to humanity and Wolf is a little less important as it is to have soldiers to fight. And there's nothing to say that this child isn't sterile without the use of this potential rite or something else.
That walks us into an argument of many guru that we've heard, especially the Fianna recall friends that said just to have more warriors didn't make it worth it. Now you present something that never occurred to me. That Malcolm and all his travels might have found something. I believe that is a secret that older brother would keep. I don't even know how I would begin to bring it up.
I'm not sure either, but I think it was an important thing to think on. Because if it is that, then if I could look at this child and learn of this child, perhaps I could find a way to recreate the ritual and aid us in the coming apocalypse.
I believe fully and firmly that your heart is in the right place in this. I would fear greatly if this ritual, or knowledge of it, were to fall into the hands of the Spirals. Because what makes warriors for us would make armies for them.
That is true. I know that we come up to it next. You have more accusations coming your way from what I've heard. Though older brother sends one to try and speak on your behalf as well. Malcolm was well loved amongst the tribe.
And so he should have been. And amongst the nation, even.
As the star touches the building and everything is brought back, the Margrave kind of speaks up. More wish to speak, and I wish to make sure that all Garu here are heard. Next comes from the Children of Owl. Dustin carries the past, comes to speak. Man comes up, he's in his like dusty traveler's jacket. He's got his walking stick. The white man steps up with his dusty brown hair and kind of speaks up. I believe that this child must die. This child we've seen time and time again. The stories of the desperate one, the stories of Anthelio, several coming from my own tribe, even the prophecy of Phoenix. All of our prophecies have heralded our doom. We have grown lax in our following of the litany as we continue to fight amongst ourselves. And nothing is more obvious of that continued battle than this child. This child who has appeared when the opening of the Red Star happened. This child who, after but a few months after its birth, we find shards of glass in the gauntlet. And we notice that the gauntlet grows thicker now as Gaia seems to draw away from us, draw away from this contagion. She is telling us through these signs that this child is a cancer, a fever, and we refuse to listen.
It sounds to me like you would attribute every great terror that has happened since the child's birth to the child, including the actions of Namers. And I don't understand why you would do that. Because
the shards of glass, perhaps a Namer, but the gauntlet growing thicker, were the Namers in charge of that? That had happened long after the destruction in the East.
We are drowning in signs of the apocalypse. I don't think that we need to attribute all of them to one. Do you think the gauntlet will lighten with the child's death? Because that is furthest from my mind.
I think that the gauntlet will stay the same, as Gaia has been mortally wounded. Yes, we have been swamped, buried even, under all the signs of the apocalypse, the coming doom, and all the signs point to us losing. Why are you so naive in thinking that this child is a sign in our favor when there has been no other sign to say otherwise?
I would not call what I am naive. I am not asking for you to believe this child is some savior. I am asking you to believe that they are a child. I am asking you to believe that Bites the Hand That Feeds is as capable of falling as I am, as you are. The way the child is treated, the way they are raised, the actions we take together will decide the child's fate. Much the same way that the White Howlers returned to us because we took action.
So you did. I still say this child is clearly linked to the Eye. It is not just the actions of you that brought about its birth. This child is tied to the worm, and I think that it is a clear sign that the worm thinks us fools, where we have its offspring nestled against our breasts, feeding on our strength until it is ready to inject venom into our hearts.
You are right that our actions did not lead to the birth of this child, just as our actions did not lead to Matthias's first change. What our actions lead to is simply forward. With our convictions, with prophecies as our guide, we get to choose, not us, he'll point to the packs, but we, and he'll gesture to everyone here, get to decide how this ends.
Seems like the worm has already injected venom into your heart, even toying with the idea that killing a child is noble.
You misread me. Not noble, just necessary. There's nothing noble about necessity. It just is.
As someone here has already mentioned, killing children is the purview of spirals, and it is a path I do not wish to tread.
It is not just the purview of spirals. I've already heard of your dealings. You wish to work with the Red Talons? I agree that the Red Talons have suffered much, and I've heard many of their songs. But they have killed children. They won't deny it. They don't view it as an evil. They view it as a necessity. They don't even... Many don't even enjoy killing humans, like so many here seem to mistake. They just see it as a necessity. Passionless. That is how I view this child. It is not a view of the spirals. The spirals do kill children, but they take great joy in it. I do not. Neither should we. And any who do take great joy in it, for whatever reason, have given themselves over to the worm in ways that I would not call them sibling.
Then I suppose we are agreed on that point, but that point alone.
As they nod and kind of step away, from older brother guides the truth. The Lupus arrives. He is a black wolf with highlights of brown as he gives a howl. It is a song, a song of joy, a long howl, that the answer to a riddle that has not yet been discovered has fallen into the Garu's lap. Why would they choose ignorance? Why would they throw away an answer to a vital question that they are desperately searching for when it is right here? Guides of Truth has spoken to spirits and hears thousands of different answers. And Thelios is open. The great eye looks upon us. It has caused disturbances and the Umbra shakes. There is a child here in a cairn. The Umbra does not shake here. Not quiver. It's not wail. If it is evil, as some suggest, bring it here is a violation of the litany, or it would violate this place with every step it takes. Proof then that we are either all guilty of a great violation and must execute each other one by one by one until the last stands and takes their own life, devoid of honor. Or this child is not evil, at least not yet, and that its evil may come later. But what is the worm but the perversion of good? The decay of innocence? Is not the worm the one who turns love into possession? Is it not the worm who turns admiration into worship? Is it not the worm who makes one look at the curiosity of a child and see only horror and doubt? Let us not slither the same path as the serpent. Let us find the riddle so that the child makes sense. Thank you. As Guides the Truth steps away, Winds of the Ashen Dead speaks up, speaking of how prophecies are unclear, that they are a distorted mirror, and that it is time for the Garu to make a choice. He has too visited the stars, and he has heard the tales from both packs, but he has visited Rorg. And Rorg's message is clear. The Garu have to choose. There is no more time to debate. Only choose a path and pray that it is right, or make it right through force of will and righteousness of cause. As things kind of settle down again, and of course, the Margrave goes, we have heard more. I know some wish to discuss amongst themselves as more context is given. The night grows long. And Helios will rise soon. I know many of you fear for your Cairns. Take heart. The decision will be made. We will find a way, and the Concordant, we will go forth with ideas on how to make sure what to do with the child and how the nation should act in either the child's stay or execution. Go again till the lights upon yonder traffic light all turn on at once, as the wild spirits will come soon. Until then, what would you guys like to do? Is there anyone you'd like to talk to specifically?
Cora wants to, you know, check in with Meatball again. Like, if he's tired, you know, get him to sleep. maybe talk to Agatha a little bit, see how she's doing, and thank her for her words. You know, stuff like that.
Mark would like to search out if there's anybody from Five Mirrors here, specifically an elder from Five Mirrors.
Yep, everyone from Five Mirrors is here. Literally every Garu who heard the call. There's whole Karens that are empty except for kinfolk. That's why it's a grand concordant.
Mark would like to go to them and inform them that there are attempts being made by a malicious force to unlock the Storm Eater. And we have been dealing with that malicious force for some time now. And it's just very recently that we've come to this conclusion. In fact, it was just at this concordat.
All right. As stands with the river goes, I understand. The bonds seem to be holding with us, but...
Keegan, we had one question earlier, and that was, is Alvin Stormchaser here? Did he come?
He did.
Okay. I don't want to talk to him. I just wanted to know because that governed things that we said or did not say.
Got it. Yes. He is here. He is speaking with others regarding the child, clearly wheeling and dealing.
I do have one last question. How's Jonathan?
Good. That's why I'm shocked you haven't spoken up yet. Whatever you said, he's out of Hirano. He's come back to us and he's been aiding the Sept now for the past few days. It may have taken a couple days for whatever you said to sink in. He seems to be back to normal.
Mark, to himself, will think back to the dream he had from the good doctor and internally freaking out and screaming, but will look the elder in the eye and go, "That's great to hear that he's out of Hirano at least. I'm glad he's up and about."
Yeah, thank you for whatever you said to him.
Well, you're welcome. But I must return to my pack. It's great to see you all here, and he'll look at everyone and kind of open-armedly kind of hug them mentally.
Kyle wants to seek out anyone who is like not necessarily a hardliner against the kid, but is saying things where it's clear like they don't necessarily trust us or our abilities to judge this situation.
Okay. Sounds good.
But go ahead. Can I also go with Kyle so that Dimitri can back him up?
Sure. You do find someone. You refind Lauren Soundwave. She has been talking about your decision-making skills. She is speaking specifically about you. She is very bitter about Fomori's Bane and Ill Omens as the one cyber dog you were able to save prior to the Purge when you traveled in the cyber realm.
It's good to see you again. Safe.
Thank you, she says.
I wanted to apologize. We were not able to stick around. We're not able to help defend the people who needed defending, because I know that there were many innocent lives lost in the Purge.
You have a weird way of showing it. You guys are mixed signals. I mean, you come here to apologize to me about the Purge, but then I find out that the Ill Omens run with one who gained much of their renown in the Purge. Excuse me if I find your words a little insincere.
No, you're right. He did indeed earn much of his prestige there. Are you aware of the rank challenge that he undertook?
I'm not, no.
And Dimitri is going to step in and tell the story of how William redeemed one of the cyber dogs that had fallen completely to the Weaver. Dimitri is going to retell the story. The trip through the cyber realm, through the scar, and through the depths of Flux itself, in order to redeem this Garu, this cyber dog that had fallen to the Weaver.
I appreciate that. Maybe he can be redeemed. Maybe you guys mean it. Maybe you are actually sorry, but I've worked with you. I was a Fostern, and wow, you get what I'm saying. I get that your hearts are in the right place, and I won't ever deny that, but I just find it real hard to think that you guys can pull something out with this.
I don't know. I have hopes that we can, and when we have the option to stay and make things right. It is what we will choose. I wish we had had the option to stay.
Okay. I get it, but just, you didn't.
I know.
I'm not going to wish for the child to die, though. But I am concerned about you guys. Whoever came up with that silver pack idea that I've been hearing going around is probably got their head on straight, but anyway, as you see the lights kind of starting to all three turn on, and Jonathan Nightbiter stands before the Concordant. This child is an answer. And while I've heard many a rumor about Fomori's Bane and the Ill Omens, their conviction drives them correct in the correct direction. I wish to say this. It is time to think. Why? The litany says that the Garu shall not mate with the Garu. It had been violated. And then it had been violated a second time. That was never supposed to happen. This is not a normal circumstance. The question is, what if that violation was of the worm, but what if there's nothing special about the child? I ask you, friends, what if the child is a normal Krynosborn who has no blemishes, at least externally, because the worm knew that we would empty out our Karens, march here, and be at each other's throats over it. The defiler defiles many things in nature. This is too subtle of work for the eater of souls or the beast of war. It is the defiler, and the defiler has always been subtle. The defiler is taking our reliance on prophecy, our heightened awareness of the coming end, and is clearly turning it against us. What if the child is normal? No one has asked that, because we are all so convinced that it can't be normal. But why can't it? The worm is subtle. That is what I wish to propose, and why this is actually a potential waste of time. There is a nod, and several Garu speak up. It is then that Bron Mac Fionn steps forward, the King of Avalon, legend of the Fianna. I wish to come with some things. I think I have noticed something, friends, Garu here, as he speaks in his thick Irish accent. Recently, it is said, or I have seen, some of the good folk, and their seemings have shown, even in the material realm. Trolls that look trollish, walking down, having to hide, unsure of what happened. I think that this child is something more subtle than we thought. I deem it a delirium breaker. When the child and the eye opened, when the eye was opened and the child is born, the seemings were shown. The child is born Krynos, and so it suffers the problem with all of its other kind. But I have heard that Fomori's Bane and Ill Omens have done a great job of hiding it from mortal eyes. I ask you, have any mortals seen it? Any humans? And suffered the delirium as a consequence?
I think we did everything in our power to make sure that did not happen, correct?
Correct, yep.
Every precaution was taken, honored legend, to ensure that the veil was not lifted as we responded to the crisis at hand.
Excellent, and that was good. But that brings me, this is what makes my theory untested. What if the child cannot cause the delirium? I think the child is tainted, but in that by breaking the ban on Krynosborn and Krynosborn mating, they've also broken the delirium in the child. I think this child, especially if it is the desperate one and it truly lifts the veil so that humanity knows us, what is to say that when it does that, that is what jumpstarts the apocalypse? Because we are known, and humans see us. I am no Red Talon. I do not believe that humanity is well and truly evil all the time, but I do know that humanity is dangerous. They have access to silver, they have access to legends. They rebelled against us after the Wars of Rage and during the Impergium, which is what caused the first Concordant and the formation of the Garu Nation as we know it. What if this child was sent to take that all away? I think that the child is interesting, though. I believe that the worm was too clever for its own good. I think it has caused something that if we can get over this hurdle, will give us a chance as he gives a smile and wink at the crowd, to finally win. As he nods and kind of steps away, then finally, Terrence Harden Judge approaches. As you've seen him before, and he wears the grim look upon his face. It is no secret that I believe that the child must be destroyed. It is a cruelty to let it live. He points to Meatball. Look at its fear. Look at its confusion. This will be its life. Who wouldn't turn to the worm to escape it in this madness? Who here truly believes that it will be treated normally, given the special nature of its birth? Its parents? How its very existence flies in the face of our laws? It is the nature of its birth that will drive it to the worm. It cannot be looked at without awe. It cannot be looked at as anything but aberrant. Even if you truly believe that it is a good thing to be constantly crushed under this weight, that is how the worm works. That is how the worm acts. It turns something, admiration, something that we view as good, and corrupts it and turns it into a poison, turning it into isolation. The child will be an island, as the great Margrave said, a lone wolf, and lone wolves are sick.
It sounds very much to me like you would kill this child because the nation is failing and will fail. And it is easier to do so than it is to convince us to be better.
When have we been better? We, who herded humanity and made them fear Gaia, so they created the first scabs. Us, who went to war with our fairer siblings and drove many to extinction. Us, who constantly make excuses for violating the litany. No, I'm not saying that we, even in our best natures, the child will be alone. It is at this point that something odd happens. The Margrave goes, I do not wish to interject, but can you be so sure, Elder Fianna? I have it on good authority that child cried like an infant because of the cuts of the gauntlet and confided in the Garu standing here like they were normal parents. Some clearly can treat it normally, can they not? The Concordant goes silent, and Harden Judge is taken aback by the Margrave's objection. I suppose that is possible, but can they keep him protected long enough? First change, after all birds leave the nest. Can this one fly with the weight of everyone's expectations? Things start to quiet down, and the Margrave goes, I think we have heard most, if not all. Any who wish to speak up next, speak to me. If none will speak, we will do a vote. We will do those who object, and if they object, they will give a speech as to why. We will have those who are in favor of keeping the child alive, and those who are in favor of them dying. Make your last statements, for the vote comes swiftly. And the Margrave approaches you, Maurice Bane, ill omens.
It is an honor to meet you, Margrave. And Kyle will bow his head.
Thank you. As he smiles, you can definitely tell that he is very pleased with you knowing your place. As he goes, but please, let us talk plainly. I think you have made good arguments. And I am deeply curious about this child. And the silver pack idea, I think, has merit. I was thinking that perhaps we could get the five tribes to agree here and now at the end, but I wanted to see what your thoughts were. My thoughts were a Black Fury, a Fianna, a Red Talon, a Silent Strider, and one of younger brother, especially one who was not in favor of the child. Get a good blend, as it were, two or four, two against, and one who is neutral.
Honored Margrave, and Zeb will also bow. I had considered the same, your wisdom being greater than mine. One thought had been toward the White Howlers, but they are nascent and young. Renewed, it would draw probably too much from their lone wolf to act in this manner now.
I agree, and part of my thinking is that this Silver Fang, or this, sorry, this Silver Pack, they will have to protect the child as well. And to risk the last White Howler in something that the Black Spirals want deeply seems foolish. But that brings me to my next point. I would like some insurance that we are on a working agreement and having a working relationship. I know that you are close with King Albrecht, and I will not begrudge you that. However, what I would like is for you to intercede with the Sacred Stone and try and open a moon bridge into Mexico, where there are Shadow Lord Karens, giving us a more direct route into Sacred Stone. I don't want direct control. That is an older brother Karen, and it should remain so. But older brother could use some of our advice, and we could use that opportunity to smooth over relationships that have soured over centuries.
I am more than willing to make the case to the council for such a moon bridge, but I think it is important not to overstate how much say we have in that sept. It is our home, yes, but we have spent more time away than there, and many of the Garu that we grew up with are either dead or have left.
I understand, but that's why we were having this. If the Margrave concedes a point to you publicly, that makes it sound like your arguments have great weight. Even older brother will notice that, or others in your council. I know that there are others who are not of older brother on that council. That would increase the weight of your suggestion, and thus make it far more likely.
I am not a member of the Sept, but I ask this question as far as a matter of cooperation, Margrave. How much cooperation with Storm Chaser should we have? Or should this be completely separate?
I don't know much about Storm Chaser. If you believe that he would be an asset, leverage him.
Understood, sir.
And so I understand, and do not fail or sully our agreement in any way. What are the precise terms here?
Precise terms are that you give your all, and, if it is called, do form an alliance with a sept in Mexico. I can send a spirit to find one that would be able to make it, or who has at least a spare moonstone. Once that has been agreed, you can perform the rite to find a moonstone, bring it back to the Karen, and forge the bridge. If they reject you outright, so be it. But I would like you to try at least a few times. Bring it up. Use whatever political savvy you have. I've heard that you've made deals before. Perhaps you can make compromises within your own sept and show yourself to be a true leader.
Kyle will straight, he'll laugh at that. Well, I certainly have made deals before. I don't see any particular problem with this, and I do think you may overestimate our closeness with King Albrecht. We have spoken 3-4 times.
Certainly, but you were close to Malcolm, and Malcolm was close to Albrecht. And thus, I feel like you would have been close to him than me, regardless of how many times you've spoken.
Legends are legends, regardless.
So they are, but friends are friends, regardless of rank.
Does anyone have any problems?
It seems not.
I think we are in agreement.
As you go up, you have a bit of a discussion as the Margrave lobs you a softball argument, and Kyle just knocks it out of the park, and the Margrave gives kind of a bow to it. There is finally time. The Concordant will now ask the question, and the first round is, should the child survive? Yes. Next was the Silver Pack. Yes, it will be agreed upon tomorrow. The Red Talons got what they want. Older brother, in a couple of their Karens, have agreed to push out others, or at least caused more older brother to be allowed in Karens that were once theirs. younger brother was able to scrape the same for themselves. You also find out that Agatha is stepping down as Elder of Sept of the Green, and she is gifting it to Shadow Dagger, with Rummage being the warder. This has put Albrecht in a tight spot, but Albrecht was able to pull out a few stops and a few extra things, including connections to the Monkey Wrenchers and a few new moon bridges, creating what would be called the Eastern Protectorate, coming off of Vermont all the way to Florida, of a network of moon bridges that allowed Garu to jump across and aid each other. The child will live when suddenly you see a flash of green light on the edge of the city, and smoke and balefire burns through the spiritual reflection of New York. Someone has made their move, and we'll find out how that goes down next time. Thank you to everyone who listened. We'll catch you in that next episode. Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.